This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Tonight we'll be pressing further in Believers Convention 2025. My experience, and Lord has blessed a number of our brethren to be a blessing to us tonight. But we are taking two messages. The first one is Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo's message titled "The Ministration of the Throne." A ministration of mercy, you know, and we'll be taking the second message, Pastor Tosin Gabriel's message, you know. But first person that will be coming tonight to bless us is no other but our sister Osato Vine, as she comes forward.
Thank you, everyone. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. I'll be reviewing Pastor Dimeji's message, the ministration of the throne, the ministration of mercy. Two things that listening to that message again brought inside of me. First of all, is the art of sobriety and also thanksgiving. While listening to the message, you know, Mama would always say that we should not be quick to forget where we started from. I just began to remember where I started from. Because when we talk about mercy, God is mercy. That the raw riches of God is mercy. I just, you know, flash back to when maybe primary, secondary school, and the anticipation and envisation for the future. It just looked as if God was never there. Yes, I was a churchgoer. Yes, we were born in Christian home. But I could not vouch that in my plans, oh, I want to become this in future. I want to have attained this particular as at a certain age. There was no God factor in it. So I look back at where I was coming from and looking at now. And I just began to appreciate God. There was just this measure of thanksgiving, saying that God, it is mercy. You know, Pastor Dimeji was trying to point to us that, you know, mercy has called us. We should not be quick to forget where we were. I don't know if some of us are like me, that we really had plans and desires. Yes, we could be going to church, but God was not the center. He was not the beginning and the end of our plans. And, you know, we are all seated right here in church. You know, those were just the conversations I was having in my heart, that really I can go to church. I am not a church goer. I am not a bench warmer. That I can do, you know, so many things. And every conversation I am talking about God, then mercy really, really found me. I was just so grateful. I really don't know. You know, somewhere there, I'm also trying to encourage, you know, us. I just find a bit of encouragement. But eventually, you are looking at yourself and you are thinking you are not yet there. The fact that you can be seated right here in this minute and time in church, mercy found you. So we should be grateful to God. You know, somewhere there, you just want to hang around with friends. You just want to party. Maybe you want to be a medical doctor and you're just planning everything. You want to live life large. And you know, we are in church listening to this word. The fact that you can even listen to this word and understand is a great reason for us to be grateful to God all the days of our life. Because if you look back, really, friends that we started together from nursery, primary, secondary school, if you look back, are they here with you? Then mercy really found us. Thanksgiving is really welling in my heart that, Lord, I am grateful for mercy. Because I never planned this, I never envisaged this, I never thought of this. Between when I was born and now, and I'm here, I don't know how God did it. I know Pastor Dimeji was just trying to point that there are like two kind of thrones. There's a throne of the devil and there's a throne of God. And there is a throne in every man, and that throne is the throne that the devil has wrought. And mercy has found us to bring us, you know, to detonate that throne. Throne, like we said, is not necessarily about the place, it's not necessarily about a position or a seat physically. But it's about the working of the devil inside us. So if mercy has called you and I to determine the throne of the devil, the works of the devil, and God wants to give us his own throne, that throne is by mercy. Because God has called us to sit on his throne. He has called us to give us his throne. And this throne will be given to us even as we grow. One other thing, you know, that Pastor Dimeji said that really stood out is that, you know, the more we grow, the more we become merciful. And I just, you know, related that literally. Growing up, you know, there's a way parents will grow up when we are young. What they will beat you for, or what they will spank you for. The moment they are older, they just look at you and like, they just overlook it. You know, that's literary sense. So I know he was just trying to say that an high priest is a being of mercy. And as God is giving us mercy, there is also an expectation from us to be merciful. So that means before I can really attain that place of being merciful, because as we receive, we should give, I must grow. So I must continue to grow, because I must not just be a selfish being that keeps receiving mercy and not giving mercy. So a man who grows in stature will be able to give mercy in return. And I trust God that the Lord would help us to always remember where we came from and always give mercy.
Wow. Thank you so much, ma. Thank you so much, ma. We are going immediately to the next reviewer for tonight. Join me as we welcome Sister Dara Mustafa.
Hallelujah. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. I'm reviewing the message, Pastor Dimeji, the ministration of the throne, a ministration of mercy. I'd like us to read Psalm 89, verse 14. It says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." You know, and this was more or less the anchor scripture for this particular message. And one of the things Pastor Dimeji said was that receiving everlasting mercy is receiving light that makes you obey truth. There are so many interpretations of mercy that we have, that what it means to find mercy is to find light that will make you to obey the truth. So how they commit substances of the throne. You know, one of the things Pastor Dimeji said was that the times of the throne, this declaration cannot come until there is a Zion church that has been prepared. And Zion church is the church to which substances are committed for to make them the habitation of the throne. And how these substances are communicated is by light. And so the communication of these substances really is the visitation of mercy. And so when I'm giving thanks for mercy that I have found, what I'm thanking God for is that light is shining on my darkness. Is that I am finding mercy to see my darkness and to see revealed righteousness and to come up to that standard. He was saying that revelation of righteousness or light being shone on your darkness is the visitation of mercy. As I was just waiting on this message, one thing I remember was the experience I had week before Beacon. You know, there's a way that some infirmities are you correct in others. If you actually, if the Lord shines light and shows you mercy, you see that you've been there. In fact, either you've been there or you are there in some measure. You've been helped, but you are there. I remember one of my sisters that I used to tease about, you know, here today, there tomorrow, you know, not being present as it were. You know, and that week, just before Beacon, one of the things the Lord brought to my heart, the Lord just cast my mind back to a particular season where I was somewhere. So, and the Lord said, there were things that had you going and coming, you know, but in the season, the period where you were present, you served, you know, in that particular season. Of course, there were seasons where you were fully shut down and there, but there were seasons where, you know, I was beckoning on you here, beckoning on you there, where you were, and give grace. And don't look at this thing as though, you know, just understand, have a large heart. And why Jesus is a merciful high priest is because he's been there. He's been there. He was tempted. He was tried. But he found grace by mercy to prevail in righteousness. And so he's able to relate and to restore you in meekness and in love. You know, so when you are correcting, sometimes you can just be, you know, hard on someone, you know, and you are just seeing that infirmity. But it's good to know that you found mercy. It's good to know that scripture says, Paul said, to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, one of the things Pastor Dimeji also said, he said, mercy rearranges a meek heart. He said, the power of mercy is meekness. The secret of mercy is contriteness. As I was just listening to this message, one song, you know, Saviors are rising, David's are rising, Saviors are rising, David's are rising. You know, but there's no Savior without mercy. No saving without mercy. You know, some of us are trying to reach out to your siblings. You know, you are laboring over someone and it looks like, oh, this, there's no yield, there's no change, there's no, you say, you talk, you know, it's not done. There is no saving without mercy. He said the high priest is ministering mercy. Mercy and truth go before the throne. You know, so no saving without mercy. Some of us, you know, we define people by their apparent infirmities, you know, forgetting, you know, that we have found mercy. And this will just bring me to the next thing, one of the things the Lord laid on my heart. Pastor Meji said something very profound towards the end. He said, result is not proof of holiness. I will just use this example. You know, there's a way that you can feel that as a married woman, you feel that it's because you obeyed the Lord and aligned in a measure that that estate opened up to you. Of course, there's truth in that. To say that, you know, there's an obedience required. There's a measure of alignment that brings you into the next. But it is not for you to glory in that it's because, oh, my purposeful singleness. I used my singleness, you know. I obeyed the Lord. I aligned. That's why I came into this. And then you look on others that are not in that estate. Because really, really, it's heaven that marks your exam sheet. Some people actually is let my people go. In fact, it's in that marriage that they will accelerate your salvation. That is in that marriage that they will break you and make you. I mean, I'm just even saying results in the terms of carnal things that we label. Result is not proof of holiness. So a sister can be doing more obedience than you. Doing more obedience faithfully. And the Lord is saying, I'm raising a brother. I've not found a brother that I can commit the decking in this sister to. I'm waiting. I'm raising someone. Result is not proof of holiness. There are certain places where we can exalt ourselves above our brethren as though, oh, I fulfill, say, that's why I came into this. Oh, I've been doing some givings. That's why the Lord opened the door of a new job to me. You know, this person needs to come up. This person needs to come up in giving. This person needs to come up in doing the things that we've been taught. Result is not proof of holiness. So it's not a badge of honor that you ascribe to yourself. Even if it is on the accord of your alignment that heaven brought you into certain graces, it is not yours to ascribe. Is a product of mercy. One of the things that just also came to my heart was when Pastor Dimitri was giving the example of not explaining oneself. You know, he was talking about how there was a situation and some people came to him and said, you know what, we believe you. You know, we are on your side. You know, we believe in you. Tell us what happened. And he said he began to talk, and he talked, and he talked. And that at the end, he felt so dirty. You know, it just really struck me personally, because my own is when they defame me. It can pain me. And I paid money to learn how to defend myself. So for 7 years, I was trained a lawyer to defend, to bring evidence, to cross-examine, you know, to defend myself. So when you tell me that I cannot even explain. Sometimes I'm telling my husband, I'm not even trying to defend. I just want you to see reason. Like, I just want to explain. I'm not saying, my wife, your justification is in the spirit. You know, and I just want you to tap your neighbor, say, no, de shalaye. You know, Mommy Ellie said, the Friday was good because what? Somebody did not open his mouth. One person that has really taught me this is my husband. I've seen situations where he knows that this thing has been said. He knows the person has said something about him. My husband, maybe you should even go and explain. Maybe the person that it was told, the person whose perspective has been colored, go and just explain that. Boshe shele lele. He said, my wife, there's no way Timomarojo Timi ni Roko Sodo Arami. There's no way I would explain that I would not defend it and paint myself better. You know, and paint the other person as a bad person. Say, nobody says story and says paints themselves bad. He says, so my justification is in the spirit. And they too have judgment. And anybody does not have judgment, we're all accountable to the Lord. How you are justified is by your righteous work. You know, so, and he always tells me, this will land you in trouble if you don't learn to be able to deal with shame, deal with being defamed. They speak ill of you, you must be content
being seen as such and not explaining yourself. If not, sometimes you will explain yourself out of God's arrangement. You will explain yourself out of seasons where heaven wants you to die. And die to your rights. Die to justification. Die to how we... You know, some of us, actually, why we like to explain is because we have reputation. And we want to uphold that reputation. You know, like, how would they now be looking at me now? But this thing is not true. Me, I didn't do this. Well, you know, another thing he has told me, before, he said that it's because you think that your side is the right side. He said, you better find the Lord's side and be on it. He said, because you think that your side is the right side, that person's side is the wrong side. But you need to find the Lord's side and be on it. The Lord is not on your side. The Lord has a side. He's on a different side, and you must find it and be on it. Not explaining. Being persuaded that my justification is in the Spirit. And as I keep walking, as I keep changing, I'm able to be justified by faith. You know, I remember one experience I had in law school in 2015 that really broke me. And I was so hurt. And I remember crying. And I was asking the Lord, but is this fair? Why should a brother do this? Why should my brethren hurt me? And the Lord gave me a scripture, Proverbs 27, 6. Can we read it together? But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In fact, the version I read was brother. And the Lord was saying, who better to hurt you than your brother? The wounds of your brother are faithful. Wounds put on you, wounds, scars, wounds that come from your brother, they are faithful. Embrace it, love it, thank me for it, give thanks for it, and keep loving. Keep doing the commandment of charity that is the key to the everlasting doors in this season. Hallelujah.
As she was speaking, I remembered my encounter at the office today. You know, I was number, I think, maybe 22. And somehow, somewhere, they just called 24. And I've been sitting down for like maybe 30, 40 minutes. I just looked at the woman. 22 is here. She looked as if she did not see it. She wanted to continue. I said, what's that? I just remember, be Miko. Oh boy, it's not easy to be Miko. The final review for tonight on this particular message, let's welcome our daddy, our pastor, Pastor Francis Aha, as he comes up.
Hallelujah. Amen. The times of his throne is actually a time of rejoicing. I don't know. I'm a product of mercy. You know, going through Pastor Dimeji's message again brought back memories. It reminded me where I was coming from. I was at the verge of destruction when mercy intercepted me. And here I am. So it brought back memories and, you know, gave me reasons to appreciate God more. Because Pastor Dimeji took time to x-ray mercy. And I saw mercy differently. That you're born again is out of mercy. I used to tell people, you don't pick born again in the market. Otherwise, every other person here you see would have been born again by now. So there are people who want to be like you, but they can't. Because they have not embraced the mercy that got you saved. Mercy is the program of God designed to save man from destruction. You know, mercy visited us. We encountered mercy to be saved from destruction, from power that we don't have say over. Every man born on earth is under that power, and there is nothing that anybody can do about it unless by the mercies of God. No wonder the Bible says, by his mercies we were not consumed. So it's by the mercy of God that you and I are not consumed. And the enemy is not relaxing. He still wants to make sure that we are consumed, but we thank God for the high priest. So, like I said, mercy is a program of God to save man from destruction. And as a people, we can't be talking about throne of God if mercy has not visited us. The reason we talk about the throne of God is because mercy has visited us. That's why we can be talking about the throne of God. There are people who the throne is strange to. You know, when you talk about throne, they imagine a seat where God is sitting, dishing out commandment, or even collecting worship according to some, you know, eating praises. But we have been made to understand that mercy is not where someone sits. Mercy is a person. Mercy visits, because an object cannot visit. Mercy is a person, and that is why mercy can visit. So mercy visits you and I in order to do what? To save us from the power of the enemy. You know, one of the things Pastor Dibeji said, that mercy is not only get us born again. Mercy is building us until we ascend the throne. Hallelujah. If you are a product of mercy like me, can I hear you say amen? Yeah. Amen. The administration of the throne is actually the administration of what? Mercy, which has come to help us find our path. We're all lost. At one point or the other, all of us, we're all lost. But what mercy has come to do is to help us find our path and trace it back to our source. We have a source. Our source is Father. And where we are going to is the Father. So we can't go to the Father, or we can't talk about going to the Father, if not by mercy. I was listening to the message again. I was wondering, the book of Psalm came back alive to me that says, what is man that thou art so, thou art mindful of him? Why is God going all out just to make sure I am breached? Why is God not after animals? You appreciate the mercy of God more. Not taking for granted what God has done for you. Not taking for granted what God has done for me. Sometimes when I look back and see where God has taken us, it makes me sober. How did we get here? How did I find my way here? It's mercy. Perhaps I would have been, you know, somewhere else doing ministry by now. I just gazed. You know, just you know, like every other person. But mercy intercepted you and I and brought alignment and sanity so that we will not miss it. Hallelujah. So Pastor Dibeji said something else. He said that the mercy has come to reconstruct man. Mercy actually comes to reconstruct man. You know, there's a throne, according to him, there's a throne that the enemy enthroned. But mercy has come to dethrone that throne so that man will be reconstructed for God to inhabit man. So, what stood out for him? He said, according to him, mercy is the opener of grace. And what I saw there was that mercy come to show us what to do. But grace enables us to do that. Hallelujah. Say, mercy can make us see what the DNA of sin. You can't know what is sin unless mercy visits you. So mercy can actually make us do what? See the DNA of sin. Say, the soul becomes more immutable to sin when received more mercy. It's only when more mercy is received that you can be immune to sin. Building of mercy is the construction of God in man, which will make God inhabit man. And the example of David and the Solomon he cited brought back a kind of consecration back to me. You know, he was saying something that mercy visited Solomon how many times? 2 times. But all the things mercy told Solomon not to do, he did exactly that. But for David, once have you spoken, and twice have I heard. And Pastor Dimeji was saying, God, give me the kind of heart of David. He said, nobody could have done what David did that could have survived it. You know, putting a woman to the family where, and then went ahead to kill the husband. That's the end of ministry now. You go home and then, but David did not end there. He took advantage of mercy and continued. And that is why you and I today can talk about David. The end of mercy is that tabernacle of God is within men. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much, Daddy. That was a blessed one, sir. I'll just read the scripture and we'll go to the next message for tonight. Jude chapter 1, verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So without mercy, you can't access eternal life. No eternal life if you don't engage mercy. All right, we're going to the next teaching. That's The Times of His Throne, The Present Day Ministry of Jesus by Pastor Tosin Gabriel. And the person that will be opening this review session is a David in himself. Can we welcome Brother David Aremo as he takes us further?
Okay. I'll be reviewing the message thoughts by Pastor Tosin Gabriel, The Times of His Throne, The Present, The Ministry of Jesus. Pastor Tosin started by saying that the times of his throne is a time of blessing. And he also mentioned that the operation of the throne comes because certain people have been prepared and they've started calling for the operation of the throne. That is why the operation of the throne came. I would like to read a scripture that is Acts of Apostle, chapter 3, verse 19 to I think 20. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And as I send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know, from this scripture, Pastor Tosin began to say that the times of his throne is the appearing of Jesus Christ in the time that the Father has allocated to bring blessing to them that have been prepared, you know, for the blessing. You know, when Pastor Tosin began to talk, because he was saying that the time of restitution of all things is also the time of his throne, you know, I began to see that actually I cannot receive the blessing that, you know, that Jesus will come to start ministering in the time of his throne if I have not been prepared. You know, there must be preparation that must have been engaged with, that must have received, you know, for me to be able to partake of that operation, for me to be able to partake of that blessing that the throne will be administering even in this time. Also read the scripture, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, you know, that is where, you know, the major thing that actually stood out for me, you know, stood from. Hebrews 9, 28. It said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, it started from the book of Acts of Apostles that was saying that, you know, the time of his throne is the time that Jesus will be appear. You know, the time that the Father has allotted that Jesus Christ will appear, you know, to bring blessing to them that have been, you know, that have prepared for that blessing. But he began to say here that, you see, that appearance is not for everybody. You know, that appearance is for them that look for him. So meaning that, you know, I can be in a season of the throne. I can be in a season where the throne is operating, but I'm not partaking of the blessings of the throne. Why? Because I am not looking for him. You know, and as I listened to that message again, the Lord began to say to my heart that, look, you know, preparing or looking for him is not just that you come for meeting. You know, it's not just that you read just Bible. Looking for him is in our posture of the heart. You know, the Lord began to say to my heart yesterday that, okay, you know, looking for him is in the graffiti you have for me in your heart. You know, they don't give an instruction. How do I respond to it? You know, they don't begin to paint the picture in those days. You know, when I was on campus, you know, I would trek for like, you know, 2 kilometers. Sometimes I trek from my hostel to my lecture room. And sometimes we finish lecture around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I would be trekking. And inside the sun, I was so thirsty. You know, there's a manner in which I was just looking to just get water to drink. You know, just to quench that taste. You know, they don't begin to paint that picture to me that, look, if you are going to, you know, take advantage of and partake in the things that is happening in the time of his throne, you must, you know, David began to say that also in the book of Psalms, as the deer pant after the water, you know, so my heart panted after you. So there must be a panting in my heart, you know, to look for him before he will appear unto me. You know, the Bible was also saying that, you know, you shall seek, you know, shall seek me and found me when you have seek me with all of your heart. So searching and know, partaking of the things that the throne is bringing is, first of all, how am I looking, you know, for him? Also, let's move on to the book of Titus chapter 2, you know, verse 11, you know, Titus 2, you know, verse 11. You know, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, you know, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Pastor Tosin began to say that, you know, in being prepared to look for him, there must first be an arousing, there must be disengagement from this present world. And that arousing is by the operation of grace. which is contained in the allocation of Christ. Now, I began to see here that, you know, there was a disengagement that must come to me. As I listened to that message again, I began to see there are some natures in me that must be disengaged from if I will look for him. Because then I began to paint the picture. There are some attributes that people that are looking for me, you know, you can't find in them. You know, I was also blessed by the review by, you know, Mama Dara talking about that place of being dead to your right. You know, so many of the time, I have this argument with my wife and I want to explain why I did what I did. Or I wanted to explain why what I did was the right thing to do. And every single time I did that thing, I ended up noticing that my wife would come back and say, babe, I'm sorry. You know, after a while, you know, as that message was going on, the Lord was just bringing my attention, you know, to that particular incident. You know, that David, you must learn to die to that thing. That you don't have to explain. There's no way you will explain and you will not defend yourself. And you know, when you defend yourself, defend to a certain extent, the other person, in fact, you can also kill the consciousness of that person that you are planning to explain to. Because next time when you see you doing something, you will say, don't just let me keep quiet. Because he doesn't want to offend. You know, and because of that, you will think that you are always correct. Your judgment is right. Meanwhile, there's something that is wrong somewhere there that the Lord wanted to do. You know, I just began to see that, you know, how the Lord was painting that picture to me, that particular, that David, this nature, you know, must be dealt with. You know, this is not the nature of someone that is waiting for the appearing of the Lord Jesus the second time, because that appearance is not appearance to take away sin. That appearance is the appearance for purpose of salvation. And it means that if I'm not receiving that appearance, I will not be saved. You know, I don't begin to, you know, beg the Lord for mercy, you know, from that minute that I will be able to submit myself to that tutelage and that teaching. Because Pastor Thompson was saying that grace is a teacher. Grace must be able to teach me. Grace must be able to disengage me, you know, from certain nature. I began to see that even my marriage is a school for being disengaged. You know, I began to see that my place of work is a school for me to be disengaged. Because sometimes, you know, even your boss asks you to do something, I'll be like, okay, this thing is not right. Let's do it this way. But so many times it happens that this is not right. Let's do it this way. You know, I'll start explaining why I did it, why I did it. But then I was saying that you shouldn't do that. He said, do it this way. Do it that way and leave it. I've just begun to see that everything around me, my brethren, my place of work, my home, even people that are around my friends, they are school that the Holy Ghost wants to use to disengage me from this present world so that I can receive the blessings of the, you know, the times of his throne. The Lord bless me in Jesus' name.
Amen. Wow, that was serious. You know, he kept using one word. He said, disengage. Disengage. You know, one is for people that know how to drive manual, that know what disengage means. When they you enter neutral. You know, when you see some malice are on gear 5. Some anger is gear 6. And heaven is saying they want to disengage you. They want to bring you down. You know, and that's why the minister of the sanctuary is around, you know, to sit upon us and ensure that we change. So the next person coming up is our own mommy. We celebrate God's grace upon our life. Can we welcome mommy Patience Oyinlole?
Praise God. Good evening, mommy. Good evening, daddy. Good evening, my pastors. Thank you for this opportunity to review this message. Well, when I was listening to the message, prior to the time of convention, you know, the Holy Spirit was just ministering to my heart, you know. I was just talking to the Holy Spirit. I was saying, why is it that most times it is when situation comes our way, we've already taken steps before we know that, oh, this is the right thing to do, or this is what I would have done, you know. And the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to my mind, that scripture that says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You know, we've taken that scripture to be birthday rhymes, but the Holy Spirit was telling me that if I bring myself to that point whereby after every day, I number that day. You know, so that you apply your heart to wisdom, so that next time, you know, when you come to that point where you need to make decision, you'll be able to apply wisdom. He say, people that comes to that state are people who are sober, are people who knows that the enemy, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking who he wants to devour. So we as a people, we should come to that point whereby we are not living our lives anyhow. We are not living our lives nonchalantly. So another thing that stood out for me in Pastor Tosin's message, he started with this point saying that we have to have a strong awareness of the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus as a community, as an individual, and as a people. You know, he said the same way we have awareness of the Holy Spirit, in the same way we should also have awareness of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus. You know, because it's when we come to that point of having that awareness that we know when he's ministering. Because the ministration of Jesus Christ doesn't come with smiling. It doesn't come with, you know, petting. You know, it doesn't come with, you know, him rubbing you on your head. You know, it comes for serious business. You know, when Jesus Christ comes to minister, it comes for serious business. And Brother Remu said something. He quoted a scripture that says Titus 2, verse 11. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Pastor Tosin made mention that the people that Jesus Christ is going to minister to are people who have fulfilled this course, who have denied themselves, you know, who have denied worldly lust, and they are living soberly and they are living righteously. So he said it's with this criteria that Jesus Christ can know that you mean business. You know, as I was listening to the message, I wrote something here. I said, those that wait for him are hungry people. You know, they are not people that they just say, "Oh Lord, we want you to come, Lord, we want you to come, come, Lord." But when the thing really starts, they are not ready. There are people who are ready to go all the way to ensure that they see Jesus. You know, there are people who are ready to sell all they have to show that they see Jesus. So Pastor Tosi also said that the times of his throne are times whereby blessings are being released. He said there are times whereby blessings are being released. And he made mention of these blessings. He said these blessings are the living nature of God and also the true nature of God. You know, when you say something is living, it means the thing has life. It is abounding in life, but also has the tendency to die too. You understand? So that is why they are not wanting us to stay in living. That is why they want us to become true. That means when we become true, we are stabilized. You know, when they wake you up in the morning, they wake you up in the night, they wake you up in the afternoon, they turn you here, they turn you there. You are like that. You are like who they say you are. And that is why they say there is no variableness. Neither is there any shadow of turning with God. Because if you remain at that state of living, you can vary. You can turn. But God doesn't want us to come to that point whereby we turn. Because in his nature, he doesn't turn. In his nature, if he says yes, he's yes. He's not variable. And one of the songs that dropped in my spirit as I was listening to this message was this song that says, "Jesus, the minister of the sanctuary, has walked into the room ceremonially." When Jesus walked into the room ceremonially, it's not to come and play with you, it's to come and do business. He says, "Jesus, the doctor of doctrines and lines, has come to measure us up particularly." So Jesus Christ has come. His ministry is to measure us up particularly. Meaning at every point, he will come to you. He will bombard you. "This thing you are doing, change from it. It's not right. You should change from it. It's time." Pastor Tosi used the word confrontation. That the high priest will come and start confronting you. You know? So if you notice that at this time, three people are saying one thing about you, always emphasizing on that thing, just know that it's the ministry of the high priest. They want you to change. That is how you will change and change and change. Pastor Tosi said something. He said, "How many of you, I envy patience," or "I envy," for example, he made an example. He said, somebody just received a slap from somebody and that person did not retaliate. How many of us will say, "I envy the way that person did not retaliate"? But instead, you'll be helping that person to calculate. how you would have retaliated. You know, to be frank, every woman, every young lady wants to marry a man that will be able to stand for her, you know, whenever there is any issue. Or, for example, your husband is driving and somebody is harassing your husband and your husband is just sitting down there, not doing anything. He, as a woman, you will say, which kind of husband did I marry, self? That you cannot even stand up for yourself. But the ministry of the high priest is saying that is the way. He's saying that is the way to go. That those are the things we should envy. We should envy patience. We should envy love. We should envy kindness. You know, all those things that are written in 1 Corinthians 13. He said we should envy them. That is the way. There is this lady that whenever she comes to make her hair, I always have issue with this lady. So this is the fourth time I'm making this person's hair. And that this person was referred. Even the person that I referred her said, Wani Suru Nio, you have to be very patient. And I said, I'm patient. No, my name is patient. I can handle this customer. So when this person came the first time, I tried and tried and tried. You know, when I'm angry, I don't talk. So it was even a customer in the shop that was defending me, that was saying, Madam, just relax. She knows her onions. Just relax. The second time she came again, the third time, then this fourth time, we agreed on price because her issue is always price. So after we agreed on price, she now said she wants to wash also. I now told her that because I know the kind of person she is. I said, I will advise you, ma, you wash from home. She said, no, I want to wash here. Because I was trying to avoid her. So she sure came. I finished washing after everything. I finished making the hair, you know. And I told her, this is your price. She said, no, me, I cannot pay it. The earpod was still in my ear. Pastor Tosin was preaching. You know, and what Daddy said about being cheated came to me. I said, I don't understand. I said, I cannot pay it. I said, did I tell you to wash your hair when you were coming? She said, yes. She said, I told you I don't have shampoo in my house. I said, okay, you don't have shampoo, but you'd have gone to any other salon that can afford your price. You wash, then you come, I'll make your hair. She was still hammering me, I can't pay it, though. I was already boiling. I was listening to a message, yo. I was already boiling. Madam, I cannot pay it, though. And I said, okay, you can go with the money. When I told her to go with the money, she looked at me, she said, Madam, me, I cannot pay it, though. She was still standing. You know? I was telling her, I said, I told you, first and foremost, I told you I have a church meeting to go to. You came late. And now I finished making the hair. You are telling me you cannot pay it. I was just packing my bags because I wanted to close the shop. I was packing my bags, trying to do everything. She now said, should I transfer it? I said, whatever you want to do, do. I just packed my bag. Well, after she was done, I said, please, I want to lock my shop, ma. She said, thank you very much. Oh, God bless you. Don't worry. I will bring somebody for you. I will refer you. So as I was going home, but the Holy Spirit now told me, he said, do you know you'd have attended to this matter differently? He said, yes, it seems as if you were being cheated. And the Holy Spirit started bringing to me how I would have attended to it. There wouldn't have been anything in my heart. If possible, self, is it no money? She said she cannot. Okay, bring it and go. And I wouldn't have sinned. I mean, the ministration of the high priest is to come to us particularly. That word particularly, your own particularly is different from my own particularly. So what you need to do is to be aware and pay attention so that you will not miss the times of your blessing. Praise God.
Thank you so much, ma. I was blessed particularly. Amen. All right. Finally for tonight, let's welcome our daddy, Pastor David Ndelekute, as he comes to bless us.
Hallelujah. Perhaps I'll start with where my patience stopped. A strong awareness. Pastor Stosin talked about a strong awareness of the present day ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something our Lord Jesus Christ is doing. That means the high priest who is risen and is seated right? Being seated is not, it's one of the things Pastor Tosin said. Being seated is not just about a physical chair, hallelujah, but it's about his intensity or the intention of the Lord to ensure that we come to a place where the ministry of salvation is wrought in us. Hallelujah. And for me, they've said so much. I was really blessed by that. Maybe I'll just go this way. One of the things Pastor Tosin talked about, particularly, he talked about what the Lord is doing to the individual, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ to an individual, then the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ within the church, within the company, within the assembly, or within the brethren. And within the brethren, or with particularly within us, it is not just in service. There's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the high priest right here when that is teaching. We all agree. There's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ when our father, when mommy, when our pastors are teaching us and dealing with issues. But that is just the beginning, where we must be aware and particularly receive the ministry or administration of the high priest is in the application. In the application within the company of the brethren, when we are at home, at our place of work, as our offices, within the marketplace, the engagement, we must be aware of what? Of the ministry of the high priest. We must be aware of the ministry of the high priest. I want to read this, Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 from verse 11. I'm on patience, and Pastor Remo already read Hebrews 9:28. He said, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. "Of which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee?" Now, the essence of the ministry, if we must come, Pastor Tosin said something, the essence of the ministry, why the high priest is ministering in this present time is for what? Salvation. It's for salvation. He has done a particular ministry. That's Hebrews 9:28. He has ministered once for sin, and for everyone who has lived or who had obeyed the instruction of the Holy Ghost, who has been led. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit, there's a leading that would take away sin, or there's a leading that would deal with the world. Then there is a leading that what? That would bring us to salvation, which is presently what the high priest is doing. And anyone who will come to salvation must be what? Looking. And I think Mommy Patience, Pastor Remo, talked about it, to look for him. There was a way David painted it in Psalms, in Psalm 119. Right? Yes, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 from verse 1. Yes. It said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." It said, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with their whole heart." To be able to seek him with the whole heart is that what? That we are looking into laws. We are what? We are looking into the matter of testimony. And that's why the teachings, the commandments that Daddy has been given before Beacon, Daddy took time, was talking about laws, was talking about the testimony. He talked about being a witness. These are issues of looking for the appearing for salvation. And it is not just about the hearing about it and how the Lord began to paint these things to me. He said, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept diligently." See, one of the things the Lord spoke to me about my transactions in this is that salvation can only be done in the company of the brethren. It takes the company of the brethren. In other words, our discerning of the brotherhood, our walking in fervent charity. Why? Because in the midst of the brethren, there must be fervent charity. These are laws. When they say seek the law, there is a law of brotherhood. There is a law that is within the brotherhood. There are commandments that is within the brotherhood. And the Lord began to stir my heart before this. He began to, you know, how I can receive, how I can diligently, how can I can receive the dignitaries. That's how the Lord put it to me. David, how do you receive dignitaries? You know, when we're reading Revelation, there's a way the Lord Jesus sees him. There's a way the Lord Jesus sees him. And you know, Daddy began to talk about these things, especially for some of us who are workers, when he began to deep and talk about salient matters, salient issues of the heart. Do you know, the Lord himself called the pastor of the church an angel of the church. That's the Lord Jesus. That's how it appeared to me. It dawned on me. You know, there's a way you can read something, but you'll not realize it. Why? Because how would I receive the pastor as an angel? See, there's a way we must receive Daddy. The way you receive Daddy is different from the way you receive Mommy. To receive is that you are able to minister to him. When I say minister to him, there's a way the Lord will appear to you. When we say the appearing of the Lord, or the appearing of the high priest appears through men. He says, when you can do this to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. Within your household, the high priest is appearing to you. So when we say looking for, I began to realize when they say looking for the appearing of what? Of the great God, right? And our Lord Jesus Christ. How my consecrations, my commitments around the transaction with brethren, around heart issues, around brethren, is actually how I look for the Lord amongst brethren. Some time ago, the Lord asked me, David, what would you do? Do you like to be in a place where you are despised? Immediately, I said, no, how can I be in a place where nobody naturally likes to be in a place where you are despised? Hallelujah. But do you know that in the living church, amongst the company of brethren, you go, why don't you like to be despised? When Paul told Timothy, do not let anybody despise your youth, what was he telling Timothy? Was he telling Timothy, when they want to despise you, tell them you cannot despise me? No. There is a heart conversation that is a response to being despised. Those are consecrations. The consecrations we must have. And Daddy said these things. How we relate one with another. How I will relate with my brethren who are working with me. And make sure that there is no railing accusation in my heart against them. How I will relate with brethren within the household. How I relate with my wife. How I relate with... That is actually receiving the Lord. That is looking for. Because there are laws. There are consecrations around it. And for me, that was so, so profound. That was so, so profound. Because Pastor Sosi said, for us to come into the ministry of the living God, for us to receive the ministry of the living God, we must come to a place of what? Fervent charity. Fervent charity is a bedrock. Daddy said it. Fervent charity is a foundation, is a platform in the spirit. For us to come into things everlasting, for us to be blessed, for us to progress, for us to prosper in things everlasting, we must come to fervent charity. I've had situations whereby you have accusations. Where you have accusations, you can actually want to, I think, you are tempted to go and clear yourself. And you know that within the company of the brethren, because it's within the brotherhood, it's not just the accusations might not even be outside. Accusations can be outside. Hallelujah. But within the company of brotherhood, you have accusations. And there is no way you want to clear yourself that you will not speak evil. You will not come to evil speaking. And the law will give commandments. The law will give you commandment. The law, that's an appearance. The law will come to you. You cannot say anything. You are not that you cannot just say anything. You must make sure you do everything to win your brother. There is a standard of love that no matter the accusation, something must not well up in your heart when you see that brother or when you see that sister. You would deliberately, there is a commandment that you must keep around brotherhood. And why? Why? He said, blessed is it when brethren dwell together in unity. Why? Because in the place of brethren, in the place of brotherhood, there the Lord commanded blessing. And what is blessing? Everlasting life. Life forevermore. So Satan hates our fellowship. First John said it. He said, we have fellowship with what? One another. And what? And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. The naming of the Father. How the Father names us with divine nature is, or how the high priest gives us the divine nature is, or how they name us is by laws. Hallelujah. Is by laws. He said, those who are born of God do not sin, for his seed remains in him. What is the seed? The seeds are natures. These are laws. These are commandments. These are things that are in the Father. So every time commandments come to us, why we must be aware, this is the sum of the whole matter. We must be aware. We must become conscious. You know, Mommy Patience kept saying something, disengage, right? We must disengage to engage. We must disengage laws to engage laws. We must engage grace again and again and again. The provision of laws, the provision of commandments, the provision of instructions on a daily basis. When you are interacting with your brother, when you have an issue with your sister, how you relate, how you receive. In other words, to receive the ministry of your brother, of your brethren, because that brother appears, the Lord is appearing to you through that brother, through that relationship. How you receive it is grace coming to you. Hallelujah. We cannot come into the salvation that the high priest is speaking about if we are not diligent in keeping the conversations of fervent charity with our brethren. We must look at these things critically. We must find laws of charity. We must find laws of patience. We must find laws of long-suffering. Every issue is an opportunity for me to grow in life. Every issue with my brethren is an opportunity for me to gain salvation. That is an awareness. That is a heart state that we must have. We must come to that place whereby we see every situation. You are going in a bus stop. Lord, how this conversation with the conductor, how can it become life? How, where is the grace? Where is the supply of grace in this conversation to make me amount to salvation? To make me change nature? To make me lay down my life? The Lord will strengthen us mighty in the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwumi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.